I'm going to pray for us as we open this passage together. Let me pray. Father, the truth is that you have been so good to us. In these past 40 years in this church community and all the days of our life, Father, you are so good. Please teach us this morning, encourage us, correct us, and train us in righteousness, that we may be well equipped, that your truth might give birth to worship and fruitful living for your kingdom, for your glory, for your holy name. We ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Wow, there's a lot of you here. There's probably no better passages of Scripture that sum up both our new identity in light of our salvation than this passage of Scripture here in 2 Corinthians. There's probably no better passage of Scripture that highlight both our new identity and our new role, our new responsibility as ambassadors for Christ. And there's probably no better passage of Scripture that sums up the heart of the gospel, of what makes it possible for the holy God to be reconciled to sinners who have rebelled against him. We are here today, a 40-year-old church. It's almost like Lee read my notes, because my joke was maybe this is our midlife crisis, or I think that's 50 or the new 60, I'm not really sure. But it's true that to some, as Lee said, we're not a very old church at all. And yet to others, we're really getting on in years. We think of recent church plants, even in our area. But we really are only here one expression of the local church over these 40 years. We are part of God's church, aren't we? Christ's church, Christ's bride, bought with his precious blood, part of something far bigger and far greater that has gone on and on for centuries. But there has been something, and I've had this confirmed this morning yet again, that I believe has been at the heart of who we are over these 40 years. Something that we have continued to value as a church community here. And that has been God's holy word. It has been the Bible, the scriptures, his word to us, that by his grace we have constantly looked to in order to hear him speak, to be led by God, to be guided by him, to be instructed in his truth, led in the way that we should go, in the way that we should live. It has been God's word, the Bible, that we have sought our counsel from, our wisdom from. It is in light of his word that I believe we have been very well blessed, as his truth has given birth to worship and fruitful living. Praise God. My prayer, my desire, and my ambition is that his word would continue to be our lamp, our guiding light as we continue forward together. Because we truly believe that all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training us in righteousness, in how to live like Jesus, so that the man of God, the people of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Because we believe that our minds are renewed, as Lee said, as they're transformed through his Spirit by his word of truth. It is my intention, it is my commitment, and my covenant, and that of our leaders here, to continue to strive in all we do to be led by his word continually. And my encouragement to you as we hit this milestone this morning, to you, the church, is that you would likewise be charged with this same thing, to guard the truth of the scriptures, to continue as the Bereans did, you might remember in Acts 17, to receive the word with all eagerness, but also to examine the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Westview Baptist Church, continue to hold up not my words, not Lee's words, or anyone else who speaks here or to you in your life, but hold up the holy word of God as the test of truth. It is only his word that is our holy barometer. It's our gauge. It's the ruler for life. It's what is trustworthy and true, and it alone. So continue. Let me encourage you. Let me urge you to hold up his word to what you hear on Sundays, to what you hear in your life. Hold His word up as your measurement and your gauge of what is true. My prayer is that this will always be true of Westview Baptist Church, because His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Because Jesus' prayer, again, Lee stealing my stuff, was that we would be sanctified, made holy in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus prayed. And so it is my absolute privilege this morning, let me tell you, beyond that, to again on this significant day in the life of our church, to turn, to open, to speak about God's holy word. There are three things I want us to notice here in this beautiful passage of Scripture. There are three things that I think bring us great encouragement and thanksgiving and great exhortation, a great urging to continue into the next 40 years and beyond. Firstly, this morning, I want you to see here, obviously, that we are new creations in Christ, is what this passage is talking about. We, the people of God, are new creations in Christ Jesus. Have a look with me again from verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. This passage speaks here of the new creation, of a new identity in Christ. This is what the church of God is. It's a place of new life in Christ, where people who were, as the scriptures tell us, spiritually dead in our sins, churches are to be a place where people who have been, by His grace, through faith in Jesus, who have come to spiritual life, there's a newness, there's a transformation by the power of His Spirit, the Spirit of God who dwells in us. Behold, the new has come, we read. The old has passed away. We are not who we once were. We are not. The people of Jesus are a people spiritually alive, new creations in Him. Amen. Praise be to God. So much of our world is plagued by the problem of religiousness, of so-called Christians who show no sign of newness of life, who show no sign of the old sinful nature being put to death in their lives, but on the contrary, they look the same as everyone else. Well, that is just religion, and I'm so glad it's something that we often talk about in the years I've been here. This passage speaks about the true people of God, those who are new creations in Christ. We have been given a new identity. We are in Christ, united to Him in His death. We were outside of Christ. We were not united to Him. Christ was not our life. We were not connected to Him. We were dead in our sins. But now in Christ, through His death and His resurrection, we are new. He is our life. We are alive in Christ. All this is from God, Paul says. This is not our doing, is it? It is not to our credit or goodness or religiousness that we have any part with Christ. We are not spiritually alive because we are spiritually elite. It is not because we are any better or more deserving than anyone else. It is only by His free grace. It is only His goodness to us in us, His mercy to us in the Lord Jesus, His Spirit's awakening in our hearts to bring us to life. All this is from God, we read. Our newness of life finds only one thing to boast in. Our new identity finds only one person to glory in, Christ Jesus, our Lord, and Him only. And so we see in this passage that we've been given a new identity, we're new creations in Christ, thanks only to God. And with that new identity, we see here secondly, that we are given a new role. We're given a new responsibility. Have a look at me again from verse 18. Excuse me. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So we have seen here that we've given this new identity in Christ, we're new in him, and then we see here we've given this new role, a new responsibility in Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are his representatives here on the earth. Wow. This is not the role of the Pope. It's not just the role of leaders in the church. But this is the role of every single Christian, every single new creation in Christ Jesus. We are the representatives of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. We represent him to the world. I don't know about you, but that's a heavy weight to dwell on. But what a glorious privilege from God to us, even us. One that we're not left alone in. He's given us his Spirit. He's given us his Word. He's given us one another here this morning. We are not left alone with this new role and responsibility. This is a wonderful thing. And I think as we have reflected over these past weeks and months, and I'm sure we'll continue to do so on our history, on our time here at Westview, whether short or long, how many of us have reflected when you read those booklets upon how God has blessed us so abundantly through people here, through a person here. All this is from God. The love of Christ that we've experienced here through his people, through his church, all this is from God. He is the one who changes hearts. He's the one who transforms lives to reflect his Son. And so glory today is not to his people who have loved us, but to God who has first loved them, who has transformed people to reflect his Son over these 40 years. We give him praise for that. But we see here that we are his representatives. Here in Doonside, we are Christ's representatives. Representatives in our lives, in our spheres of influence, as we've been talking about more lately. So then in Christ, we are new creations. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God. And then secondly, we see that we are Christ's ambassadors. We're given this new role, this new responsibility as his representatives. But lastly, I want you to notice that the primary way that this passage of Scripture tells us that we do our ambassadorship, that we do our representing for Christ, the primary way that we do this here is through the proclamation of the message of reconciliation. Notice that. We see here that our representation of Christ is in the proclamation of the message of reconciliation. Let me show you from verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We see here that our representation of Christ is in the proclamation of the message of reconciliation. This is the message that we are to bring. This is the message that has transformed our lives. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. One thing we notice here from this is that Jesus' death on the cross does not automatically reconcile everyone to God, apart from whatever they do. The cosmic problem is that all people are not reconciled to God. God tells us in his holy word that apart from his action, all people are justly condemned by him for their sin against him. All like sheep we have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. We've made ourselves God is the problem in the Bible. We have said, stuff you, God. The reason that God is making his appeal through us, the reason that we are imploring people, pleading with people, begging people to be reconciled to God, is because they are not reconciled to him. Don't miss this in your life. No one is right with God apart from Jesus. Apart from this new creation, this new identity in Christ, there is no hope, brothers and sisters. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We've made ourselves God's enemies, and his word tells us over and over again that we stand condemned rightly, justly, apart from Christ. The reason we are pleading and begging people to be reconciled to God is because they are not. But notice again, this is not about spiritual pride. It's not saying about us that we're special in ourselves. Remember, Paul says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. This reconciliation is about a hostile relationship being exchanged for a friendly one. It's about the restoration of the favor of God to sinners who have been enemies of God. And this is exactly what we have experienced. The message we bring has been just as much a message for us as it is for others. We aren't special ambassadors who don't need the message we bring. We are beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. And this is where the beauty of verse 17 of this new creation in Christ is made possible. How can someone, the scriptures are telling us over and over again, how can someone who's sinned against the holy God be made right with him? This really is the most important question in all the scriptures. Not why does God condemn the wicked? Really, the most important, significant question is, how can sinful people be reconciled to the sinless, holy, perfect, good, righteous, and just, and loving God? How can God be at the same time just, and yet at the same time justify the wicked? That's what the scriptures are questioning. How can the good judge let the guilty go free? How is that reconciliation with God even possible? Well, here's how. The most beautiful words, I think, in all of Scripture. For our sake, he, God, made him, Jesus, to become sin who knew no sin. He had no sin. So that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. That is how it's possible. And that's the only way. That is how God can be both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is the truth that allows us to be reconciled to God through Christ. And this is the message that we have been entrusted with by God as ambassadors, as his representatives of Christ. This is the appeal that God is making to the world through us, brothers and sisters. This message that has utterly transformed our lives. The message, the truth of what God has done in Jesus, his Son, that has brought us from death to life. This is the very heart of the reason for our eternal joy. Because the only God, the holy God, made Jesus Christ, the eternal holy Son, the perfect man, perfect God, because for our sake he made him who knew no sin to be sin. At that moment on the cross, the eternal Son of God, the man Jesus, he bore our sin, my sin, and your sin. He suffered and died for our wrongdoing as if it were his wrongdoing. Imagine that. He took our punishment. He took our place for our crimes. Is not this what we glory in? So that in him, the eternal Son made sin for us, we might become even the righteousness of God. That's what God was promising 700 years ago before Christ, 700 years before him. And back in the garden when they had first sinned, there in Isaiah 53, 700 years before Christ, just verses 5 and 6, but the whole chapter is worth reading over this week if you get a chance. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. But he, this one who was to come, was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord Yahweh has laid on him our iniquity. Our sin. God took my sin and put my sin on Christ in the place of me. God took Christ's righteousness, his right living to God, his perfection to God. He counted it to me in place of my failure, of your failure. Just incredible. John Calvin writes of this verse. He writes this: as all mankind are in the sight of God lost sinners, we hold that Christ is their only righteousness, since by his obedience he has wiped off our transgressions, by his sacrifice appeased the divine anger, by his blood washed away our stains, by his cross borne our curse, and by his death made satisfaction for us. We maintain that in this way man is reconciled in Christ to God the Father by no merit of his own, by no value of works, but by gratuitous or free mercy. This is who we are, Westview Baptist Church. This is who we are. We are new creations in Christ. We are his, bought with his precious blood, the precious blood of the perfect Son of God. Because Jesus took away the righteous anger of God, he took the punishment we deserve. This text says that God the Father made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And we are, brothers and sisters, Christ's representatives with the message of this reconciliation to the world. This message that is grounded upon this truth of what God has done in Jesus' death on the cross for our sins in our place. Tony shared a devotional on Facebook this week. You might have seen it on our private group, from a guy called Paul Tripp. And just part of that, he wrote this: it is sad that so many of God's people spend their lives searching for some significant endeavor to give themselves to, when they have been chosen to be part of the most powerfully transformative work in the history of the universe. I'll read that again. It is sad that so many of God's people spend their lives searching for some significant endeavor to give themselves to, when they have been chosen to be part of the most powerfully transformative work in the history of the universe. Don't miss the joy of being involved in God's work, in his mission, in making known his message of reconciliation through the cross of Jesus Christ. We don't want to neglect that here at Westview Baptist Church, do we? We exist to bring glory to God by making passionate disciples of Jesus. This is why we value the things we do. This is why we value one-to-one discipleship that we've started this year. Meeting together, growing together, praying together, wrestling with the struggles of life together as we hold on to his word together. This is why we want to equip one another and send one another into our spheres of influence and our church ministry outreach every week, like the scripture ministries, the friends group, the play group, the youth group, and many other things, like the ordinary everyday interactions that you and I have with those who do not know Christ, because we want to reach into the community of Doonside and our neighbors and our friends and our families and strangers with the message of reconciliation. The only truth that brings lasting joy and peace, the only one. This is why we care about what happens in Turkey and Doonside and in Jordan and at Glenbrook Baptist Church. That's why we want to send Tony. This is why we want to see a church planted, is it not? That's why we want to be a church planting churches, because we want to see people reconciled to God across our city and country and world, to see by His grace new creations in Christ Jesus. As the good news of what He has done in Jesus goes out into Western Sydney more and more and more and more, to see Him water and grow the seed that is sown. And this, brothers and sisters, is our message. Be reconciled to God. Doonside, Western Sydney, Australia, have you not heard that for your sake He made Him sin who knew no sin, so that in Him you might become the righteousness of God, so that you might be righteous in Christ and at peace with God, even as His child forever. Don't miss the joy of being involved in this work as we go forward into the next 40 years. In His mission, He has called us. He has called you and me as His representatives. Christ died for His people, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sakes died and was raised. My life is not my own. I have been bought with a price. I belong to Christ Jesus, my Lord. I am His, and there's no place I'd rather be. Amen. This is what Westview has been about for 40 years and is about. And my prayer is that we would always be about being and so making passionate disciples of Jesus, holding out this message of reconciliation to all people with boldness and great joy, because it's transformed our lives. Because we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is our greatest treasure. Because we're overflowing with thankfulness at His grace and mercy to even us. Because we're loved by God Most High. We're His children, those loved even as He loves the Son. Just incredible. Just beyond imagination that the God who made the universe would come and reconcile us to Him and make us His eternal children. So by His grace, we will join our brothers and sisters who have gone on before us, even to glory in these past 40 years. And we will, as they have done, continue to hold up the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The devotional we read earlier finishes with these words: "The greatest honor of my life is that I have been chosen to be both a recipient and an instrument. This has given my life deeper meaning than anything I could have discovered on my own. This is what grace alone can do. We are loved by God, chosen in Christ, as recipients and instruments of grace. His chosen ones, representatives for Christ. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And this is exactly what this communion meal reminds us of. This is exactly why we need this every week. The good news that we need to be reminded of every day. That on that night when Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He gave thanks. Let me give thanks. Father, You are so good to us. You are so good. It goes beyond even our imagination. You have given us even your holy, only Son to suffer and die in our place for our sin. Father, who are we that you would love us so? That you would choose us to represent even Christ, even you, to this lost world. Such is your love, such is your goodness and mercy and kindness to us in Jesus, your Son. And Father, over these 40 years, we thank you for this truth that has permeated. For our prayer is, Father, that it would overwhelm our lives into the future. And flood out of us like a waterfall into the lives of those around us. That Jesus made sin for us. That our reconciliation to you through him, even as your own children, would be our constant source of joy in suffering. And the words that overflow from our lives, from our lips. We praise you, Father, for your amazing grace, for your incredible mercy, and for your steadfast love for us in the Son you love, in whose name we rest, in whose name we trust. Amen.